Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself, and no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law. He's finally back in studio. Marvelous Melvin Hastin, along with tantalizing Tommy Drake, two local Coleman attorneys. Want to thank Blake West. He's Blazing Blake West. He's watching right now on Facebook, so we'll need to get Blazing Blake back in here sometime soon. You know, Blazing Blake, he just likes to look at us, but you know, he'll never laugh. But he likes to look at us while we laugh, though. So, guys, welcome back.
I left you hanging last week.
Yes, you did. But you know what? It was fun. We talked about all the little the road crap in Coleman that they're doing. You know, the little things and the what are those called anyway?
I don't know. It's a mess.
That's exactly
mess. I mean, I guess that's what you can call it.
The concrete divider.
Yes,
stuff?
That's yeah. What it is. Yes,
I don't know what it is.
So yeah, we talked about that. We talked about some politics and talked about the Senate race going on right now and who's going to do what. You know, we see Donald Trump is a big Luther Strange fan, it appears, and that's his option if he wants to do that. Doesn't matter to me. But we actually went to the GOP in Coleman a few weeks ago and actually listened to Judge Roy Moore, Mo Brooks. And I forgot the other guy's name. So there you go. But I mean, you know, they all had some good points, you know, as politicians. And but you know, it's funny to see these politicians up at the Coleman Civic Center talking. And, you know, they applauded some of the things they said. And some of them, you could tell, they didn't like what they said. So, yeah, who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. You know, I'm personally, I'll tell you, I'm kind of a Roy Moore fan. That's just me. And, but we're going to see what happens. I mean, what's y'all's opinion?
He shakes the tree a little bit. That's why I like Roy, man. he really, whether you like him or not, he has a belief and he sticks behind it, you know, no matter where it carries him. And he just can't be Supreme Court Justice because he's been removed twice.
Poor guy. Tommy, what's your opinion?
I voted for Judge Moore today. You know, my take on it is the first thing is you've got Luther Strange, who is by all accounts an establishment candidate. So I've got a problem with that. I really doubt his what is said about him and Governor Bentley. I you know, that's politics, but I don't like it. And then of course. Mo Brooks is essentially what they've said, that he's a perennial candidate. He's been a politician for most of his life. I know when my dad was in the legislature, Mo was a legislator then in the 1970s. And, of course, he was county commissioner in Madison County. Then he was the district attorney for Madison County. And then, of course, so a legislator, commissioner, district attorney in the House of Representatives, and then now for the Senate. And Mo is impressive. I mean, let's face it, he's expert when it comes to giving speeches. My bottom line, and the reason I sided with Moore, is not on religious grounds. If anything, opposite of that, I believe like some of the candidates, who were not rating polling well, okay? But there seems to be a reemergence in the Republican Party, and that's the part I like, that concerns individual rights, individual liberty, protecting the Bill of Rights. And I can tell you right now, there's no doubt, in my mind, based on the opinions and rulings of Judge Moore, you know, when you sit down and read these rulings, you can really see, you know, what he feels about the Bill of Rights, and you know, it's easy to campaign and say I'm going to rule a certain way or these are my beliefs, but he actually puts those into action in his ruling. So I know I firmly believe that when he gets to Congress, and I believe he will be not only the nominee of the Republican Party, I think that he will be the next senator from state of Alabama, that he will put that in action. Now, Mitch McConnell and a lot of the establishment Republicans, the mossy backs, as the old timers referred to, of course, being a term limit man myself, you know, I have some issues with somebody serving 30 or 40 years, but you know, having said that, he's been there for many years, and I think that's a problem. I think you get out of touch with the electorate. You get out of touch with the reality. You live a false reality up there. I know how that is because my dad was in the legislature 40 years, and quite frankly, it's just the way it is. So, you know, you throw Roy Moore into the mix. I just don't see any negatives. I mean,
right.
I just don't. You know, the guy has shown that he, I mean, he's certainly a courageous person. I mean, he sat through two Judicial Inquiry Commission trials, and he didn't settle. You know, he could have
right.
settled short.
Exactly.
I'm sure they somebody involved, one of the attorneys involved, went to him and said, "Look, we're going to make you this offer. Why don't you just take a week off?
You right.
know, we won't have to pursue this, and you can, you know." And he didn't do that. So, you know, the man has substance. He's stout, you know.
He is.
So, you know, so that's the reason I cast my vote.
Well, you know, whatever he believes in, now that's what he believes in. And he's not going to go left or right. That's for sure. I mean, he's going to stand on his stand, and that's it, whether you like it or not. So that's what I like about him.
You know what else is funny? If he didn't age out, if his age hadn't reached the 70, he could run for Supreme Court Justice again and get elected to Supreme Court Chief Justice, and we would elect him again. I love it.
So
just to be removed.
And I expect a big vote out of Cullman now. So you got to look at history now. If you remember, Judge Moore ran against Governor Riley, and Justice Moore won Cullman County. It was one of a few counties that he won against Riley. And then, you know, if you recall, one of the platforms Governor Riley had is that he was going to make sure that the Department of Public Safety hired on 250 more state troopers. After the election, all 250 converged on Cullman. I mean, there was not one new one anywhere outside of Cullman County. And I remember Judge Cheney, and I'm not sure who, I guess it's Judge Cheney then. I know he was certainly on the bench, and seeing the courtrooms bursting at the seams because all of the taillight violations, not wearing a seatbelt. There were literally thousands of those tickets. So, you know, so I expect a major vote again out of Cullman County. I mean, I got the evangelical vote,
right?
You know, and you know, Cullman being what it is, you know, it's
exactly,
yeah.
So, guys, I got a butt in from the control room. I got a question. I remember an urban legend. I guess I was still in my diapers back then, but there used to be a police department in Good Hope, and
yes.
Rumor has it that a person in power. Y'all got the story on that? What happened?
You know, they had a chief. I can't remember his name.
Elwin Grimmett was a chief at one time. Was he? Hope, yes. And Grimmett was, and I can't remember who the other one was.
I think they had a force of, it was probably Elwin, and then probably, I think there's two officers. And of course, now you got to understand one of the reasons you do that is to generate revenue. If you look at the amount of money that the city of Cullman generates in the city of Hansville, you won't believe it. It will absolutely floor you. I remember the Alabama AOC, the administration offices of the courts, sent out a booklet to the judges, and Judge Bruner showed me one year that the city of Cullman made $505,000 in traffic citations, and the city of Hansville made $495,000, which is shocking. virtue of the fact that
you
Cullman
typically don't see that many people pulled over unless it's like a Friday night.
But something happened, and I don't recall exactly what it was with the city of Good Hope. It may have been a lawsuit.
I thought the urban legend was they pulled over the wrong senator and the funding got cut or something.
Oh, well, that's probably true. I mean, that wasn't the, well, I,
does anybody
believe
that
long? No.
I was thinking about autocross I saw a couple of times, but I'm not going to. But anyway, no, but that's probably, but I think one of the main, and that's true, though, to some degree, that I know that there was underfunding and that there was not enough revenue in the city coffers for it to continue on.
That makes sense.
So there may have been, there may have been monies or appropriations that were cut.
Tommy, if you recall, I remember when Riley was doing all that stuff with his troopers up here, when that called Taking Back Our Streets.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what it was called.
Yeah,
Taking Back Our Streets.
Yeah.
And if you got a tail light out, we're going to take you down.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, I don't care if you're on a country road. It didn't matter. County road. It could have been a hayfield road, a field road. I mean, I was pulled over literally every day for a seatbelt violation there for had five different troopers. No kidding on, 1373.
Did you learn your lesson, Tommy?
No. No. I think they just eventually, it was just a fun thing for them every day at 5 o'clock to pull me over, but. Anyway, but that's true. I mean, it was retaliation. And the fact of the matter is, if we go on back in history, you know, Siegelman, there was a delegation from Cullman that went down there. And I know one of the individuals that went was Randall Shedd. This was before he was a legislator. And they went down there to see Don Siegelman, and when they got in his office, the first thing he did was open up the donation and contribution sheets, and it didn't turn out as it was not as what the governor would have expected, and that delegation left empty-handed.
Well, didn't he recently get out of prison?
Yes,
Siegelman.
Yes, he did.
Out of the big house. Yeah. I wonder how he enjoyed that. I mean, was he in one of these nice prisons where?
No. He was in Atlanta, and
God. Yeah. That's prison itself.
Well,
that's the truth.
You know, it's one of the worst. There's no
is
doubt.
Is it really?
Oh, absolutely. You know, of course, Chicago. I can't remember the name. What's the name of the famous prison there in Chicago? It's the worst. But but Atlanta is bad because I mean, it just is. So and also Scrushy was there, you know. Scrushy was in Atlanta.
I didn't know that.
But now I would figure because of their classification, the type of crime that they were engaged in, they would have been now that is a maximum security federal prison. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just simply saying I don't think that they would be necessarily in the same area as depending on the type of crime.
Exactly.
Sometimes they'll put the lower class. People, I don't mean lower class, lower category level, lower level criminals.
Watch what you're saying, Tommy.
We got high class criminals and low class criminals, middle class.
No doubt. But anyway, the lower level criminals, they would. I've known them in the federal system, put them in a Quonset hut, and so that they'd be in a communal Quonset hut, and so they would have a little more freedom, and you wouldn't have that threat of violence that on the back of your neck.
But I mean, come on, did y'all ever see when they were selling assets off of Richard Scrushy? Dear God. Did you ever see like his house on the lake?
Yeah.
I mean, this was like a $20 million house or something. It was unbelievable. But, you know, he just got greedy and, you know, and made false statements and got on the stock exchange and was bullying numbers. And, man, it looked like he was doing great. Granted, he is a smart man. There's no doubt. And he was very successful. But he just wanted to keep on going when it really wasn't true numbers. So.
Yeah, and you know, one of the worst things you can do, you know, when you have people that you're paying good money to work for you, when you abuse that authority and you direct them to play with the numbers, or you direct them, you know, to defraud others, and essentially that's what it was.
Exactly.
He was telling his underlings that he was paying an enormous amount of money. You cook the books.
Yeah.
You know, you hide it, put it back on the, you know, page 50, and we're going to make this representation and that representation, and goodness. So, you know, then all those people that had worked there essentially lost their retirements. They lost their, you know, everything, lost their jobs. It was just really bad.
And then they turned into canaries, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know it. You know, they'll be yelling quick.
Yeah, they, I mean, that'll have that effect on you when you lose everything.
Incredible.
But yeah. So, but Siegelman, yeah, he got out, and there's something that he's working on now. I was listening on radio. I believe it was a book, maybe, that he's working on. And, like, you can go ahead and forward the money, and they'll send you the book when it's done. So, yeah, he's been out, I think, now about a month. What time the polls close tonight? What are they closing?
Seven o'clock. Yeah. They better get out and vote.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. So, yeah, everybody definitely get out and vote. But where I was at now, you said Kelly Community Center.
And 173 at 12:30.
And I voted at Vinemont. And now I should have got the count, but there was... and it was one page. That's all I know. So you can figure. I don't know how many's on a page. So, you know, I'm going to say definitely light. Now, it was raining when I walked in, and there was two other people there voting other than me.
I'd heard earlier on the radio that they were thinking 25% of the residents of Alabama would vote.
I think it's going to be 10. I think it's going to be 10%. And
they're all going to be Roy Moore supporters. He's going to win. That's what I was saying.
98% of the vote.
There's 151 Republican ballots cast when I looked at there at the 173, and I bet you 135 was Roy Moore. But this, and the whole reason why is this. They are going to go vote. Them people that believe Roy Moore are going to go vote. They're going
to
vote.
They're very loyal to him.
Yeah, they're going
to
vote.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, Tom Drake campaign deal. My dad ran for lieutenant governor. He came in third. He's beat by Burt Banks and George McMillan. George McMillan was a lieutenant governor. And George McMillan had a lot of money. And so he bought up all the billboards. He had 100% billboards. And that was $1 million back then. So you can imagine how much Alexander Shinar is paying. But... The funny thing about it, my dad, when he ran, he said, now son, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into North Alabama. There's more votes in North Alabama, and we're going to get the North Alabama vote, and that's what you got to press when you go out here and talk to these people, and I'm going to give speeches about it's time that Alabama had a lieutenant governor from North Alabama. Well, he lost, and that is exactly the campaign strategy of Mo Brooks.
How about that?
I mean, and they say, oh, well, it's picking up steam. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's going to work. I just don't. I really don't.
And by the way, if you want to see Alex Shinar, you can see him this Friday night at 7:30 at the Allsteak Restaurant in Coleman. He's going to be making a speech up there. He sure is.
I'll try to get up there and see Omar.
So I will, you know, I'll still try to use my connections and get him in studio pretty soon if I can. So, be nice to talk to him.
Yeah.
You're listening to Understand the Politics right here on Live 95.5. It's Big D. We'll be back in just a moment.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissors Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Football season is among us again, and just in the nick of time, Sports Talk Live returns here on Live 95. Join Ronnie Barnes and Jason Spiegel as they return to the air this Thursday for a triumphant return of Sports Talk Live. Jason will tell you point blank if Auburn will have a quarterback this year, and Ronnie will once again tell you how Alabama is the best team in the land. And he's probably right. They'll also bring you up to date on all the local football happenings as regional play kicks off here in Cullman County. It's Sports Talk Live. Join us Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live. Then stay tuned for Path Changers, Habits of Health at 6 p.m. and the Big D Radio Show at 6:30, right here on Cullman's independent radio station, All About Cullman for Cullman, Live 95. Live 95, Cullman's independent radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Cullman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health, immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Cullman, by Cullman, for Cullman. Live 95.5 FM, Cullman's independent radio. Welcome back. Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law, Melvin Haston and Tantalizing Tommy Drake is in studio.
Hey, what does tantalizing mean?
I think it's kind of sexual.
It's nicer than saying crazy.
Does your wife ever say tantalizing Tommy?
Never. I can't repeat on here what she calls him.
I've never heard
every FCC rule that you can imagine.
I've never heard her call him Tommy. It's everything else but Tommy.
Hey, look, seriously, my sister just loves your wife to death.
She
just loves her to death.
Yeah, I think my wife's somewhat the poster child of the busy bee, the flying bumblebee restaurant. She's in there all the time, and she's going to run for political office. The first place she's going to go is a busy bee.
Oh, yeah.
Get there endorsement.
Because if you can't get, if you want a good sounding of how you're going to do an election, that's the best place to go. I mean,
it is.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And also, the busy bee, when she has run before, has put her posters, up the window. So she's proud of that, even though she lost.
Nothing wrong with that. Look, we should do a trio of some kind of office, and all three of us get elected and just run this freaking state,
Well, one for the executive, one judicial, one legislative. That'd be unreal. So, hey, let me see. Can we do it?
I'd have to find a party.
I've been kicked out of all the parties.
Can we do it?
You can be independent, Tom.
I'd have to get signatures, and I don't think I'd get over two.
Wait a minute. Hey, we may can do it this next election. We'll have a governor election, general's election.
Yeah.
And so, well, let me see, executive, judicial, well, the chief justice, the attorney general, and the governor.
Man.
Oh, well, that'd be awesome. No, we need legislative. Don't
but
we?
See,
I'm
you,
missing legislative.
Used to, you could come up with a snappy name, you know, but, like you had Bobo the Rodeo Clown. And of course, I voted for Bobo just because, like you were saying a minute ago, just because of the name. But now, you know, you had Pam Walking Bishop.
Yes, the walking judge.
Like a spider, but. But now the rules say the legislature passed some kind of rule that you can't add any nicknames.
Well, you know, one time, I can't think of her name, Lucy something, and Lucy, it was like, I
love Lucy.
I love Lucy. And let me tell you something, they called her on that too.
Oh, yeah. That's true. But it's illegal now, so, you can't do it. It's a shame. Be interesting to see who runs for governor, though, because, Governor Ivey, there's some question as to whether she's going to run. She's not announced yet whether she will.
I read something the other day that says that she's possibly going to run.
Yeah. So I've had as much information as we do.
She's probably testing the water, see who else is going to announce. And
I have nothing against her. I just don't think she'll win.
No, I don't either. Somebody else announced, and I can't believe tonight I cannot remember, but there's been a pretty significant individual who announced, and I'm sorry.
There's so many running right now. I mean, come on. I don't know how many, but I know there's a bunch of names out there.
Why don't we try to talk Donald Trump into life?
We should.
He can leave his presidency and run for the governor of the state of Alabama.
And he'll start talking about nuking North Korea again.
Yes.
Yeah, but, and then Kim, though, you know, today they reported, you know, he's backed off that now. He said that he's not going to – he's rethinking.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, no. No, that's what was in the news this morning, that he had changed his plans and that he was rethinking and stepped back his plans about attacking Guam. Most of the pundits claim that that's due to Chinese pressure. And, you know, as far as the Chinese are concerned, it's one or two things, but, you know, if there was any type of a nuclear exchange and it was perceived by the United States government that they were assisting the North Koreans, that would be the end of the Chinese market. I mean, it would be over because we receive such a percentage of their goods, and we're talking about trillions of dollars. So, they might as well, the world might as well go ahead and end because their economy is certainly going to end.
Well, and I told Danielle last week when we were doing this show, you know, I said, well, you know, the crazy North Korean leader, he is crazy, but he also has common sense. And he knows that if he does anything towards the United States, his country will be gone. There's no doubt about it.
That's the good thing about having a nut as a president. I love it, man. Somebody so unpredictable. I love it. Donald Trump would. I love it. Yeah, do it.
Hey, look, I want to give a shout out over to the Dollar General on West Main that is always airing Understanding the Law on the Big D Radio Show. So I appreciate y'all out there. So some of our friends.
Good deal.
Yeah, I mean, they're out there shopping the other day and like, hey, man, like, we heard you on the radio on the Dollar General on West Main. I said, well, good. Thank you.
Is that the one over by the Chinese place?
Yeah, Chinese and by Warner's. Lock right up from it, there at the jail station.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Know exactly where that's at.
The good part of that.
We'll have to frequent them.
Yeah, we will, exactly. Yeah. I'll go out there and spend my money with them people. Man, I love Dollar General.
So now that we've covered to some degree this election process, this special election, which I presume, again, what where does that put us? How many weeks to the – is it 2 weeks until the runoff? If there is a runoff, it'd be 2 weeks, right?
I think it's longer than that.
It is?
Is it 4 or 6 weeks? When did they say it was?
I think it's longer than 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, the general's in December. It seemed like maybe that one's at the end of September or the 1st of October.
Yeah, it's nearly got it. But I think it's pretty quick.
And then here's the other deal, Tommy. How long – when does his term end? I mean – Or are we electing somebody for 6 years? I get it. Yeah, because we're electing somebody for 6 years.
Yeah, it'll be a six-year term. That was the whole thing that they were trying to slip Luther in, so that there would not be the special
election in 2018.
Yeah, exactly. And so to get him firmly implanted there, but you know, obviously he made enough connections to where he received a substantial amount of money to the tune of, what, $18 million? Is that how much it was from special interest groups? And he's only been there, what, 6 months maybe? Six, seven months or something like that? And then Mitch McConnell, you know, had spent $8 million himself out of his own coffers, his own campaign account, to go after Judge Moore, you know. So I don't know. I doubt there's going to be a warm smile and a firm handshake between Justice Moore and McConnell. It's probably not going to work. But what I was going to say, too, of course, this week I had this unbelievable news. Of course, everybody's seen it on all the mainstream media outlets, that what occurred in Charlottesville, Virginia. You know, we have this build-up essentially to have a what we would believe would be a peaceful protest that turns violent. You know, there were some legal battles there where the city had said, well, you know, there's really no good going to come out of this. It's going to be dangerous to the citizens, and as such, we're going to deny your request for a permit. And then, of course, this United for the Right filed a petition, a complaint in the U.S. Federal District Court there, and a U.S. District Judge said, well, under the First Amendment, you've got a right. You've got a right, right. to protest. And then, as a result of that, once they got that date, once they obtained that date, enforced the matter, then you have the you have the Black Lives Matter, of course, on the left side of the equation, and then Antifa. You know, and a lot of people have heard of Antifa. Antifa is the is actually a German word, which means anti-fascist activist, is what it comes down to. So then everybody's watching each other's blog to see, you know, when this is going to take place. We have a problem. You know, you certainly, citizens certainly, one of their greatest rights is the right to speak your mind, you know, to freely associate and to protest. And, of course, the protest, as I understand it, was over the removal by the city of Charlottesville of the statue of General Lee. That had been there many years. I think they said it's 1919 that, wow. that was placed there. And of course, he's on a horse and right. so on and so forth. So it's just
well, look, you know, if you want to see statues fall, just go down to New Orleans. That's all you got to do.
Hey, they pulled them out. You know, I read where they the protesters. From what I read this morning, it said that the protesters pulled the one of the statues of a general at Durham, North Carolina,
yeah.
with the police watching. I'm thinking, how can police sit back mm-hmm. and watch them and say, well, it's just a peaceful protest when they're destroying property?
Exactly.
And today, the mayor in Birmingham, I heard this about 15 minutes ago, the mayor of Birmingham had ordered the Confederate memorials and statues covered this afternoon. So the city workers are going out today to go out and cover physically, you know, cover with tarps all of the statues there. What is it? Isn't it Confederate Park?
No, there? It's Lynn Park.
Lynn Park. It's yeah, Lynn I'm sorry. Park. Lynn Park right there. I guess that's right behind the courthouse.
Yep.
And you know, so the strangest thing, one of the strangest things is one of the most famous places in New Orleans is Jackson Square. So if you remove Jackson from the square, what do you call it? Just square? I mean, essentially, yeah. that's what they did.
Right.
I mean,
remove
General Jackson. Of course, that was the war of 1812. It had yes. nothing to do with the Civil War, and yet why do they want to remove General Jackson? He fought against the French. You know, I'm sorry, the British outside of New Orleans to protect the city of New Orleans, and which is just strange. It just shows that people are crazy. You know, you've got the you have people like me that believe in the heritage aspect of it, and they say, well, that's hate. It's not heritage. And the saddest part is you have legitimate historians. People that are decent individuals that bear no malice or hatred toward anybody and don't feel superior, who are actually going down there to protect a historical site.
Exactly.
And who had, you know, members of their family that died in the war. So, you know, one thing that they bring up now to denigrate people like me is to say, well, you know, they were traitors. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you think about it, our founders were traitors. They were traitors to the crown. So, I mean, I don't think that that's a legitimate objection, you know, or statement to make against somebody, too. So what do we have here?
Well, Jay said that he had read that some of the protesters tearing down the statues have been arrested.
Good.
So, great.
They need to.
It's a good thing. I mean,
you know,
it's criminal mischief.
Yeah, it is. And a few years ago, when I got involved in a lot of this stuff, a couple of years ago, there was a, in Memphis, there's talking about digging up the remains.
I remember that. Yes.
Of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, and
they
was going to carry him down the middle of the street. I don't know what they're going to do with him. Yes. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Can I say this? What a bunch of idiots.
Oh, absolutely.
So there you go.
I mean, it's...
Blake is on the phone.
But now... Yeah, now here... Oh, my goodness.
All right, Tommy.
Cut the lines.
Tommy, hold up. We got Blazin' Blake West on the line. Blazin' Blake, welcome to Understanding the Law.
I was the brain trust there tonight.
Well, you know,
talking about anything but the law.
Well, you were talking about the monuments and the Confederacy, and, you know, we lost the war, and I can live with that. And they talk about, the people talk about that it's a monument because they were fighting for slavery, and I don't know any of them personally, but I respect the effort they put in for their country, just like you were saying, Tommy. At the time, they were fighting for their country, which was the Confederacy.
Absolutely.
Would I have been fighting for the Confederacy? I don't know. Did that mean that everybody supported slavery? What percentage of the Confederate soldiers do you think owned slaves?
Probably less than 1% of 1%.
Less than 1%. I have a gentleman that's a client of mine that I've been doing the state work for, a black gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about some of his family property, and he wants to keep that in the family for a long time. He said, because it goes back to my, I forgot how many great-grandfathers, mm-hmm. before the Great War between the states, and he was a slave owner.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, well, where does that put us?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, what? Which side are you? He's a great guy, super guy, disabled veteran. It's a great guy to talk with. And so, you know, we all have mixed heritage. And like you were talking about Andrew Jackson, I think he was a slave owner. But my goodness, what he did to the Indians, the Native Americans.
Yeah, he's responsible for the
march. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
and even worse, Blake, if you'll recall, of course, they've done away with his $10 bill now, which is a travesty. But if you recall, he was against a central bank. He was for a national bank and was against fiat money. And, you know, probably one of the greatest heroes of real money that as far as the president we've ever had. I mean, was a hero.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean. It was something.
They did a lot of great things, and without him, I don't know that we would have beaten the British in the War of 1812.
Exactly.
But now we're to common day. So common day here in America.
Yeah, forget about all.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, if you're over there, you know, because these people, they are, you know, that they want pity for everything. Let's just say it like it is, you know. And it disgusts me as an American citizen to listen to this crap every single day, to think that we are bashing you, we're taking away your rights. That's crap. That means get a job, be a man, and be productive in society.
Exactly. No doubt. It's insane.
What group or race of people haven't been enslaved at one point in the history of the world?
Exactly.
Everyone.
No doubt.
That's a good statement.
It seems now what we did for the slaves and the Native Americans, I mean, no one is in favor of doing that anymore. But I just don't know how that changes history and why we have to change all of those things.
Because people are offended. They're offended.
That's exactly
what
right.
I say, you know, and that was always my argument when I was raising Cain about this stuff a couple of years ago. Right. I said, if you're going to, if offensive is the test that we're going to have to use as far as what part of history we're going to delete or whatever else, you're going to have to define offensive because there's probably a lot of things I'm offended to about.
But it doesn't matter if you're offended,
though.
I
know, you know, so.
Are we going to change the name of Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
They all had slaves.
Oh, absolutely. And Thomas Jefferson certainly did. Because they had children, one of them.
And what I love about Birmingham is Jefferson County is named after Thomas Jefferson, one of the biggest slave owners that's ever been in the United States. I love it.
You can't look back and say those things were wrong. I mean, there were so many things in history that we have done wrong,
sure,
and now we do better.
The Salem witchcraft trials was probably wrong.
Yes, all of those things. Now, instead of taking the statues down, why don't we put up something else about it and says, hey, these people did some things that now we wouldn't do, that we think are wrong.
Sure.
And, you know, and still keep in mind the things that people did for us good, but educate about the things that are different.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's just trying to erase history. It's crazy. I mean, it's the truth. What's wrong with the truth? That's always been my problem.
Well, people don't want to acknowledge the past, okay? Mm-hmm. It's all about today and in the future and what you can do for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And put on this, you know, put beside the statue, Jackson helped us win the War of 1812. He helped us. He wanted to have a better banking system than, you know, he had great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He did some things that we wouldn't do now. But the times are different.
Exactly.
And we don't support those things by having a statue of him. But he did some good things. I mean, if we eliminated, like it says in the Bible, if you eliminate everybody that's done something wrong, I don't think there's going to be many statues. Hey,
ain't that the truth? And you know what? Me personally, I think that New Orleans should be protested every single day for what they've done.
And
I stand by what I say.
Oh, I won't go back down there.
No, I won't either. They got their last penny out of me.
It's disgusting for what that mayor has decided that he has the power to do.
Yeah.
So, Blake, what's your point? Go ahead.
How does the mayor have the power to cover up the statues?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Really, the only thing that's in Lynn Park is that big memorial to people who died fighting for what they thought was their country at the time.
Mm-hmm. That is the only monument there. I'm very familiar with that. That is the only monument there.
Yeah. I had an office at one time that looked out on that.
God love you.
Right on, our library window looked right out on that monument in that park.
But, you know, Jefferson County, let's just say it. It's just a poo county. That's all it is. Okay?
Yeah.
Who wants to live in Jefferson County anyway? I can't think of a person. I can't think of anybody. I mean, who wants to go down there? Who wants to live down there and buy a freaking car tag, you know, for $500 for your 1976 Pinto? Come on.
Stand alive. I wouldn't get it, too.
I wouldn't move back down there for nothing. No way. No way.
And I hate to be so, you know, I hate to talk bad, but it's the truth. I mean, it really is the truth. And I appreciate Coleman.
So Blake, I know, you know, we're going to impinge on one of your most fundamental rights. Who did you vote for?
I'll tell you, I voted for Mo.
That's okay.
Because I can't vote for Roy Moore as an embarrassment.
Oh, West.
He is... Well, I mean, he's done some good things. When he was a circuit judge, he did a good job.
I'm not buying you hot wings anymore.
And when he first started out on the Supreme Court, he did a lot of good things. But you can't flout your opinion of the law over the law.
That's true. I agree with that.
I just can't. I can't deal with that.
Yeah,
that's not right.
Well, and so and the point too is that we can't, as lawyers, our clients have to deal with court orders every day, and it would be anarchy if our clients did not follow the rules of the court, and the court did not have the contempt power. And then there you have it in that case where, you know, you got a sitting federal judge that says, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that, and I hereby order it. Well, you know, we're duty bound as attorneys to uphold the Constitution of the United States, but also to follow the rules of the, you know, follow the rules, know the rules, and follow the law. And a court order is the law.
And if we don't like it, there's other ways to work on changing.
Sure.
There's a lot of laws I don't like.
Yeah. Amen to that.
But if I'm a judge, I can't just say, hey, the rest of y'all ain't got to follow that law because I don't like it.
That's very true.
And what's hard for people to understand is because most of the people in our counties, religion mostly aligns with Judge Moore.
It does.
But what if in 10 years from now, somebody's on the Supreme Court and it's different?
Mm. And I'm sure there will be.
I don't want to force my religion on anyone because I don't want someone later forcing their religion on me or my sons.
Exactly.
And that's what we got to keep in mind. That's how our country was built. Is I'm willing, and we're the only country in the world where I'm willing, even though I disagree with you politically, I'm willing to go fight and die so that you have the right to maintain your cause.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's the problem.
Nobody else does that.
Exactly. And that's the problem they're having in Charlottesville. Exactly.
Blake? Hey, Blake.
Hey, buddy.
Are you carrying the groceries in? I'm just trying to figure out what you're doing.
Oh.
Are you fishing?
He is carrying the groceries in.
Do you have surveillance?
No, I can just hear you huffing and puffing and moving doors. I thought, he's carrying the groceries in.
Because Darla said so, that's why.
Yes, I've got her grocery list from Sam's, in fact, yes.
Well, Blake, thank you for that
because she's not listening.
Thank you for calling in and speaking with us tonight. We appreciate
always
it very
good
much.
Always good to listen to the show.
All right, and
we'll have a good night,
and we'll have you in soon. See you.
Good talk to you, buddy.
This is the only time we'll get to see or talk to Blake, ain't it, Thomas? Yeah, he don't come to court.
No, he's outsmarted us.
He has no idea where the courthouse is. No.
But you know,
smooth talker.
I'll tell you one thing about Blake, as far as somebody who's very intelligent in theory about law. You know, it's easy to know what a law is, but to apply those different laws and put the pieces of the puzzle together and give you a very simple answer to a difficult question, he's the man to do it. I mean, he's really smart. Excellent in what I would call legal theory.
Yeah, I've caught him a bunch. I love calling Blake, talk to him. So, man, here's my situation. What do you think about it? And he'll give you his opinion. And it makes sense. All of his stuff makes sense. I don't know if I've listened to something I've just disagreed. You know, I've called him and asked him, and he says this, you know, I think, you know what, you're right, Blake. I don't know that there's any time I've confronted him and said, no, that ain't right. And really disagreed with him, so. He does.
He just seems like he's having such a good level of thinking, you know, and it just flows so freely, and he's always got the right words to say.
Yeah, he can, you know, but he's normally right, but that Mo Brooks thing.
What's up with that?
He's wrong. All right. I'm just kidding.
He liked the word Mo.
It's still anti-establishment. That's all that matters.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, really, and what Mo says. You know, on the campaign trail about, you know, he is a naysayer, you know, in Congress. There's actually a group, what do they call it, the Group of Ten or something? It used to be Tea Party Republicans. There's a group that he's involved with that are pretty much hardliners on doing away with Obamacare.
and they just really don't see any middle ground there. They just want to repeal it, which, I mean, I think most people agree, especially this paying an enormous amount of money like I am each month to that. So, but so yeah, you've got to give Mo credit too, no doubt.
Well, and I've told everybody, you know, out of everyone that spoke that night a few weeks ago at the Coleman Civic Center, he was the best speaker. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he done better than Roy Moore did. There's hands down. He was just very impressive. You know,
he's been giving them for many years, and of course, as far as his education, he probably has one of the more impressive pedigrees. I mean, he was going to Ivy League schools. I mean, here's a guy who was like Cornell, Dartmouth, you know, Princeton. Princeton, I think, is where he got his master's degree before he went to law school in mathematics. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, how boring. I mean, you know, like watching grass grow or paint dry. But, I mean, you know, so anyway. But, yes, I will see. It's going to be interesting. Can't wait to see. I guess we'll know. We should know. What?
30 minutes. 30 minutes. Yeah. 2% it voting. Probably about 30 minutes.
Yeah. Probably, definitely by the 10 o'clock news, right?
No, yeah.
I mean, we should know.
It won't take long to tally that up. Now, do they have anybody at the Civic Center doing tallying tonight?
No.
No, it's at the courthouse.
Is it?
Yeah, they're doing it at the courthouse now, yeah. Reason being is I was in a trial today, and we got moved to the smaller courtroom because the big courtroom is where they got it set up to do the election results. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they've been doing them there for the last couple of years.
So what's going? Let's talk about the law for a minute. What's going on in the law? Are y'all staying busy? I mean, we got some.
Oh my goodness,
we got some crazy stuff going on.
Well, and I have to talk about this, and we're not, we're not going to be tooting our own horns about this, but it's going to be in the news. I was talking about this before we came on the air. AL.com called. And they're wanting interviews with me and Melvin about our lawsuit in federal court. And, of course, that's the one. It's actually a three-prong type of thing. Melvin has his case that originated with a client on a habeas corpus who was held in jail with what we claim without the benefit of reasonable bail. It was a cash-only bond. The guy was indigent, so you can imagine. And then, of course, my case, I entered once I saw that he was doing the heavy work, had already done all the hard work and already got past this federal judge without going to jail. I decided, it's time for me to enter. So, I filed an intervention. And of course, a lot of people don't understand this. You know, they say, well, why are you doing this? My case is about, where the magistrates have a one amount of bail that they set in every drug trafficking and every drug manufacture case, and it's $1 million. Okay, so most people say, well, that's a good thing. I mean, here we're talking about drug traffickers. These are pushers. These are, you know, mules. They're bringing in these destructive drugs into our environment, and then you've got manufacturers who are manufacturing the drugs right here in Coleman County, and you want us to feel sympathy for these people. Okay, so we get to the point that we're trying to make in federal court, and that is this. You cannot have a system in place that discriminates against a person based on wealth, meaning the rich person gets out of jail because they've got the money to make bail, and the poor person remains. So I represent indigent people who don't have the financial means. As a matter of fact, the plaintiff in the case doesn't have a truck. He doesn't have a vehicle. And quite frankly, the state doesn't have a case, in my opinion. And then but having said that, still he's charged with a serious crime. And so that's the reason for it, is that, you've got, you have, under the law, this U.S. Supreme Court has said you have to consider the financial ability of each individual defendant before you set bail.
Okay.
You got to do an assessment. You know what I'm saying? You got to do something to find out what their financial abilities are before you set bail. So you know, let's just say the guy, he owns a $50,000 home, he's driving a nice vehicle, and so on and so forth. Then you would set him a higher amount of bail than a guy that's living in a pup tent.
So, would you say Coleman is on spot every single time, It's always a $1 million bond every time I see.
Oh, it is.
Always. Every person.
And they testified to that. That's the one of the reasons I entered in the case, that the magistrate actually testified in a proceeding in circuit court here. She testified that that in every case in the last 20 years, they have set a $1 million bond. Well, you can't do that. I mean, it's very clear. You don't have to be an attorney to know that one size does not fit all. You've got to set an amount of bail that guarantees the guy's going to come to court.
Okay.
But for a poor guy, $1,000 is going to make him come back to court. Right. Whereas a rich guy, right, he's probably going to need $1 million bond. And that may be justified. And then, of course, now the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the ACLU out of New York have entered in the case to go after cash bail. So, you know, I've got my issue, and of course Melvin has his issue, and then they've got their issue. Since we've raised this, now it's going to be a real battle now, because I mean, we've got interest, you know, coming in that powerful interest, by the way.
From Washington, D.C.,
New York, and everywhere.
So now, is everybody that has this $1 million bond in Coleman County, are they actually staying inside the jail until their court date?
There's a lot of people who do. There's some people that just absolutely by necessity have to plead guilty to get out of jail. It's crazy. As a matter of fact, there was, I'm going to say, 20 women that had written us letters, and we went down to see them in the women's area there of the jail. That had written this letter saying, I've been here for a year, and I haven't been tried, and I'm desperate to get out. I have two children, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, they've got a bad case, but I've got to plead guilty because they're going to offer me probation if I plead, and if I don't plead, I'm just going to stay here and I can't make the bond.
Right.
So, you know, you have speedy trial considerations and all that. But yes, I've had people in jail upwards 18 months on those types of charges where, you know, it's just ridiculous. I'm a firm believer. You won't read this in any book, but this is just me thinking. The reason I am a proponent of the speedy trial rule is that the person should be tried while the shame of the crime is on his mind. Now, if he's going to sit there for a year, and that's a form of rehabilitation, in my opinion. Now, prison is not rehabilitation, and that's a joke. But, you know, if a man's going to sit there and have to think in 8x8, for a year to 18 months, you know, he's going to change his life. He doesn't have access to drugs, and he doesn't have that. He shouldn't now. You know, you hear stories out of prisons, but jails are different. But, you know, that's really my problem with it. And I think that it's important to do that because not only that the shame of the crime is on the person's mind, if you have victims involved, it's important for the victims to reach closure in the case. So I just think it violates a lot of different things. Equal protection of the law, where you have, like I said, you have discrimination based on wealth, where the poor man stays in jail, the rich man gets out. And let's face it, you know, simple logic, common sense would tell you that the guy who's got the money to get out, he's probably a drug dealer.
Oh, yeah. You know he is. He's got all the cash stuffed in that station wagon, in the gas tank.
Exactly.
Under the hood.
In the two gas tanks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so if you see two gas tanks, you know, you got
one fault.
You know, another issue, and these are United States Supreme Court justices and well-learned ones. I mean, the ones that's prominent. You know, this issue's come up in front of them with the bail stuff, and they have stated, and it's true, you know, that's part of the presumption of innocence. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're sticking somebody in jail, so you got to stay in jail to wait for your trial. Why do we have the presumption of innocence?
Exactly.
You know, so there's a lot of arguments to it. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Exactly. And Tommy Drake, thank you for coming in on Understanding the Law tonight. We appreciate you being here and your input on everything that you have.
Thank you.
Glad Tommy, to be here. I told you Tommy will say what everybody thinks is afraid to say. I love it.
Tommy will tell you like it is. And probably his wife makes him that way.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to have her on one of these nights.
I've always said it, and she's never been here. I mean, Melvin is every week. Melvin's like, Kim needs to be here. Kim needs to be here.
I think actually Melvin and Kim should do it first without me being here.
Yeah. I'd have a value.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can check Big D out Thursday night on the Big D Radio Show, Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you, and most importantly, God bless America.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.